Welcome back to the Anime Show, my fellow deplorables, my Anime Show posse. On today's episode, I'm excited to be interviewing a fellow journalist, Alex Newman of the Sentinel Report. You can find him on Frank Speech. I really enjoy his broadcast. It's every day, Monday through Friday. So he's joining me today. We're going to be talking about a whole bunch of things. Disney got busted again. What came out in mainstream media was like surprising. Honestly, I didn't think they would talk about the most free and fair election on mainstream media the way we talk about it on today's show. And then we're going to talk about education, and that is so important. He brings up some really good points about the dumbing down of the American students. So I think it's a great episode for you, because you're going to find out how education went from being local to global. And if you've noticed the progression of the way our country's been, it's gone from local to global with people like the UN, the World Economic Forum, Bill Gates. So we're talking about this with Alex Newman on today's show. I hope you get to know him and like him and start following him. I want to let you know, in July, I am taking some time off. So if you do not see broadcasts uploading where you watch, whether it's Frank Speech or Rumble or Brighteon or BitChute or Podbean or wherever you get the podcast, it's because I am taking a break, but I will come back, but I just need some time off. So in July, if you don't see broadcasts, that's why. So stay tuned and follow some other great podcasters. And then I already am lining up a whole bunch of amazing guests in August, so check that out. Hey, I'd love you to support the show. Mike Lindell just got canceled from Walmart. So if you could go to mypillow.com/Amber, the landing page, mypillow.com/Amber, go get their sandals. They just came out with some sandals. So if you live in a sunny state, you want to go get those sandals. Now there is a slipper tab, a square or rectangle slippers. Go ahead and go there, and that's where you can get all the massive deals on the sandals. Let's go buy something, whether it's a $20 towel or a pillow, or the towels that are buy one, get one free. So you double whatever it is, you're going to double that. So go to mypillow.com/Amber, either get the sandals or the buy one, get one free while it's still going on. So let's support him since he got canceled again. You can find out all the promos because I partner with businesses to help give you a discount, and they help support the Amber May Show. And you can do that by going to the links below or theamermayshow.com. Either way, you can find out the links are in the description there. And hey, a $5 monthly subscription would help me so much. So if you could go to theamermayshow.locals.com and become a $5 monthly subscriber, that would be so helpful, and I'd appreciate it, because it's hard it's hard to do things without financial support. So I appreciate you guys so much. Follow me on Telegram. We carry so much more of the conversation on Telegram. You can find me at the Anime Show on Telegram. So the things that you're not going to find on this broadcast, you're going to hear it on Telegram. And you can find me on Frank Social at Amber May and True Social at Amber May. But make sure you get there and follow me, because I am bringing more content there. I can't carry all the content on the show. I just can't. So find me there. I do need you to like, share, and subscribe. That is very, very helpful. Please do that today. Like, share, and subscribe, because I really hope you enjoy the episode today with Alex Newman. So like, share, and subscribe, and Alex Newman is coming up right now. Absolute pleasure to introduce to you guys Alex Newman. He is on Frank Speech. He's part of the Frank Speech family. You can find him, I think, every day. He can correct me if I'm wrong. And his show is called The Sentinel Report. I love his show. Alex, when I got to meet you, it was a highlight for me, because I watch you here and there. And then to meet you in person was really cool. So welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Amber May. It's great to be with you.
Now, for my audience that may not know you, just give us a little bit of background because I know you've been in journalism. So give us a little bit of who Alex Newman is.
Sure, thank you. So I am a journalist. I have a degree in journalism. I've been doing journalism for my entire career. I write for a lot of different publications. I serve as senior editor at the New American Magazine, a great magazine. Write for a lot of different clients, including the Epoch Times, one of the biggest newspapers in America. And then, of course, I do my daily show at Lindell TV, Frank's Speech. And then, of course, that's re-aired on other networks and platforms. And those are some of the things I do. I also serve as executive director of Public School Exit. I serve on a lot of boards and just generally trying to promote truth and freedom. So.
I love your back. I love your backstory, and you're really good at journalism. And then everyone can see on the picture behind you, the TV behind you, that you could go to that website. There's a lot of really good information there. What I like about your show, for those of you who may not know the Sentinel Report, you should definitely check it out if you haven't seen it. I like how you open your show with some news, some highlights of the day, and then you let your guests talk. And I just like that format. I think it's a great format because it kind of catches us up on what we need to know. And the other day you were talking about aliens, and I'm kind of glad you picked that up because I've been seeing that too. Aliens here and aliens. I'm like, what the heck? Why? What? Do you have any idea what they're doing with that? Because like I keep seeing that on my news feed too, alien this and alien that. I'm like, why are we talking about this?
Well, I think they're getting us ready for some sort of great deception. And I don't know exactly what that's going to look like, but I think we're starting to get clues from what they're saying publicly. You know, you've got leaders in Congress talking about this. The UN, some years ago, actually appointed an ambassador for extraterrestrial visitors. So when the ETs come, then the UN ambassador is going to kind of be the point of contact, I guess, when they say, take me to your leader, they take them to this UN goober. So I think they're preparing something, and I don't know what exactly that looks like. I just from all the pre-programming they're doing in the propaganda movies, I get the sense that there may be, you know, good and bad. And you know, my view, I don't believe in extraterrestrials, actually. I know it's common for people nowadays to believe in extraterrestrials. I don't believe in that, but I do believe something's going on. I do believe there are records that the government's got that are interesting, that would be interesting to know about. I do believe that a lot of these people who claim they're having experiences are experiencing something. I don't know exactly what that looks like, but I'm far more inclined to believe that we're dealing with interdimensional issues than interplanetary issues. And one of the things that I find so striking about it, Amber May, is that you know, you hear all these testimonies from people who claim to have interacted with these interplanetary beings or intergalactic beings. And there's always this consistent message. They traveled from who knows how many light years away to tell us that the Bible isn't real and that maybe Jesus isn't who we think he is. And, you know, frankly, I'm a little bit suspicious that some alien civilization would get in a spaceship and come all the way here just to tell us that we're wrong about Jesus. I don't know. It sounds a little bit fishy to me.
I think so too, because Bill Clinton was just on some newspaper talking about Area 51. I'm like, okay, you're getting ready for something. I didn't know what that was, and then when you said it too, I was like, oh, that's cool. Like we're on the same length. But something just popped up in the news today. I'm going to share my screen with you, and I want to talk about it because it was pretty fascinating. I think this fact that CBS News is picking up on this. I'm from Arizona, we're a battleground state, and just so you know, Alex. Election integrity is not dead. We're still working on 2020, even though, yes, we are moving forward. We haven't forgotten 2020, and we're still working on 2020 in Arizona. So, Texas Republican Party passes resolution denying legitimacy of Biden's victory in the presidential election. And that's from CBS News. I didn't expect them to have that out there. But then you have 100% fed up. Again, something similar. Texas GOP declares Joe Biden as illegitimate. And we reject the certified results of the 2020 election. So in Arizona, there was a resolution that was submitted. And of course, I don't know if you're following January 6th. I imagine you are. Rusty Bowers is the Speaker of the House in Arizona, and he is going to talk about January 6th. That man is the one who is trying to stop the resolution in Arizona to decertify Pima County, Maricopa County, and Yuma County. So he calls himself a Republican, but acts more like a Democrat. And I am so fed up at this point with people like that. Either just say who you really are. If you believe in the Democrat platform, then that's what you need to call yourself. Don't be lying and telling us you're something you're not. So interesting. what are your thoughts on this news that's breaking out today on mainstream media regarding the legitimacy of the most freest and fair election?
Well, I'm glad that the Texas Republicans have a backbone. I'm glad that the grassroots still have enough influence over the party machinery to get good resolutions passed like this. And frankly, I think it's way past time. And I don't think it should just be political parties. I mean, Texas, the Texas Republican Party controls the Texas legislature. The Texas Republican Party, one of their members is sitting in the governor's office. And so, you know, I think we need official action too. But this is a good start. You know, a lot of the things that begin bubbling up in the platforms of political parties end up becoming official policy. So I think that's an encouraging sign. And there are other great things in the Texas Republican Party platform now, too. There were some great resolutions passed that are way overdue. And, you know, they reiterated certain things. So I think it's encouraging. At this point, most Americans know the 2020 election was marred by fraud. The polling data shows most Americans know that. The overwhelming majority of Republican voters know that. And so they're not going to be able to keep the lid on this forever. But I think what's coming, what the deep state is planning right now is actually to try to prosecute Donald Trump. They want to put him in jail. And they hope that that will finally once and for all silence and intimidate everybody into just, you know, putting their heads down and hoping that they don't get eaten. But I don't think that's going to work. They've already taken down a lot of Trump's key people. You know, they knocked out Mike Flynn. They knocked out jailed Paul Manafort. They did the thing on Roger Stone, now Steve Bannon, and Peter Navarro just recently with the leg shackles at an airport. I mean, this is the behavior of a gangster government that is absolutely terrified of its citizens, that is absolutely terrified of the public, and that it is behaving as an illegitimate regime. It's behaving like somebody that knows they've been caught, that knows that everybody knows that this is illegitimate. And so they're behaving in a very suspicious fashion. So kudos to the Texas Republican Party. I hope that other Republican parties will do that. Unfortunately, a lot of the Republican parties at the state level and certainly at the federal level are still under the control of the establishment of the party bosses and special interests. So I always tell people never send money directly to the party, always find good candidates to support, not the party apparatus, at least until the party shows that it's with the people. But definitely encouraging news. I'm excited to see what came out of Texas. The news, fake news media is not able to bury it. So now they're just making fun of them. But you know, the old saying, I think it was attributed to Gandhi, first they ignore you, then they laugh at you, and then you win. So then they attack you and then you win. So we're almost at the win part.
You and me and everybody else was getting canceled off all the platforms out there when we were trying to say back in the beginning there was fraud in the election. But the mainstream media said, no, we're conspiracy theorists. It's not. It was the most freest and fair election ever. And now to have the mainstream media even talking about that is amazing. I cannot believe it. And I was kind of shocked today when I saw CBS report that. And not all the platforms are out there, but there's a few now mainstream. So now the people that might have believed that there wasn't fraud, I think they're going to start realizing that all of us, you, me, and the rest of us, we're actually telling the truth and bring more people to our side of the aisle come midterms and the general election. I just think it's going to hurt them in the long run. So that was kind of exciting. Now in Arizona, things are not done as far as election. We're still fighting. Like I said, we had that resolution that was submitted, but there is an injunction that he's running for Secretary of State Mark Finchem and our gubernatorial candidate Carrie Lake put an injunction out there. Well, hopefully that it'll go through where we will stop the machines in the primary, but at least hopefully in the general election so that we will hand count the elections this time. So that's encouraging too. And we picked up more seats in our state. I don't know about your state, but when we redistrict, we picked up more seats in our state. And if we have Carrie Lake at the helm and Mark Finchem, more election integrity stuff's going to happen to fix 2020. So I'm encouraged about this upcoming midterm because ours is coming up in August. I don't know about Florida, assuming that's where you're from, Florida.
Yep.
Yeah. Is it in August? Is that when your primary is too?
Yeah. August 23rd is the primary here. Yep.
Nice. You know, the other thing that's been coming out, and I've been following it lately, I don't know if you've seen this, but the Southern Baptist came out recently with a whole long list of ministers that were sexual predators. And on top of that, there was other articles. There was 108 busts of sexual predators, and then there was another bust of sexual predators. And now there's another bust of sexual predators. I want to pull this up for you because I thought it was fascinating. the quote that they use in this article. So this is again from 100% Fed Up. Polk County Sheriff gives epic press conference on arrests of 12 disgusting child predators. What would an operation be without a Disney employee? We always have Disney employees. Okay, so I like this quote right here. What would an operation be, either pornographic investigation or predator operation or human trafficking operation, without a Disney employee? We always have a Disney employee. And that's from the sheriff there. What are your thoughts on Disney and all that stuff?
Well, Disney really stepped in it by, first of all, by promoting this kind of stuff for children. And second of all, by trying to get involved in the political process when the people's representatives had said, you know, our constituents have had enough of this. We're not going to be tolerating this in our schools. And so, you know, it's hard to feel sympathy for Disney. And I understand why the sheriff would want to call them out. And you're right. This happens over and over and over again. It seems like every time there's one of these big operations there, somebody from Disney gets caught up in it. I actually interviewed a Disney employee recently who's still an active employee there. And he said, hey, the company is grooming children with this propaganda. It's disgusting. It's nefarious. It needs to stop. A lot of the employees aren't okay with it. But, you know, there's a lot going on with Disney that I think people need to recognize. This is not a new phenomenon either. They've been promoting evil for a long time. And I think it's about time that, you know, people start getting caught. And I think it's about time that state lawmakers here and our governor, of course, have taken on these special interests. It's really problematic. And I hope it'll send a lesson to other companies that, you know, there are certain things that are beyond the pale, and grooming children, sexualizing children, promoting, you know, sexual lifestyles that that parents don't want, that are not appropriate, is totally uncalled for. And frankly, I mean, what in the world was Disney thinking? I mean, their customer base is families, and here they are attacking family. Even liberal families don't want their kids necessarily exposed to this kind of garbage, especially in your face like that. So it's, you know, very, very bad policymaking from Disney. You got to wonder who is making these decisions. You got to wonder how long the shareholders of the company are going to tolerate this kind of behavior from the board. You know, I would even make the argument that they're violating their fiduciary duty to the shareholders, because they're obligated to do what's in the best interest of shareholders. And I don't see how you could explain this away as being in the best interest of shareholders. You know, turning families against you, turning your customer base against you, is probably one of the dumbest things that a company could possibly do. And yet here they are doing it. It's absolutely outrageous. So my guess is we haven't heard the end of this. And you know, these little employees that are getting busted, that's just the tip of the iceberg.
Yes, I'm glad you said that, because I think it goes all the way up to the top. In fact, I interviewed a man who said Disney and Pat Robertson are a part of a big sex ring. And to your point, fiduciary, I've been seeing articles which leads me to believe that maybe Disney is financially hurting, because I saw an article that said they are upping their air conditioning for their hotel guests, that they can't just lower it to whatever they want. And it's like, if it won't go lower than 65 degrees or something like that. And then they're having tax problems with the county on several of their properties. And then the Buzz Lightyear movie was a bust because there was a homosexual kiss and it was banned in several countries. And a lot of parents were telling other parents, don't go see the movie because of that. And so I'm wondering, because they've turned their back on their customer base, if they're in financial distress, just based on some of the articles I'm reading. So,
well, and they've lost an enormous amount of value. You know, the company, I think they, last time I looked, they had lost like $60 billion worth of market cap. That is huge. And, you know, the stock market is down generally, and so are some of these other streaming companies. But I think part of the reason for that is people are just tired of this. People don't want to pay money to have propaganda and nefarious material being broadcasted into their homes and into their minds of their children. So, you know, I think there's some real explaining to do here from the board of directors. And, you know, again, I think there are nefarious things going on. I think at the highest levels, there are decisions that are being made that would not be made by normal, reasonable people. And, you know, journalists ought to be looking into this and getting to the bottom of it.
I am excited to look at that interview you did. I didn't catch it. Did it air yet? Because maybe I just didn't catch it. Did you air
it? It did. It aired a few weeks ago. It was with Nick Catarano.
Okay, I got to check that out, because I did not catch that. And then they also made people mad when they fired Gina Carano just because of a thing she said that in context made complete sense. So they made a lot of people mad and they cut off their subscription to Disney with that alone. And then, like you said, when they came out with the parents saying that they're grooming their kids, and man, I bet that was a great interview that you did with a Disney employee. I was talking to some girlfriends and it's just kind of sad because yes, it's been going around for quite a long time because I don't know a lot about the Masons. Do you know a lot about them Freemasons?
I don't know a lot about it. I've never been involved with Masonry. I have, you know, some concerns just about the whole idea of secrecy and things like that. You know, I know that I know plenty of people who are Masons and I know some people who seem to be, you know, decent human beings who are members, but, you know, I've also seen some of the writings, things that have come from Albert Pike and things that I think are deeply alarming and not exactly compatible with biblical Christianity. And so, you know, those are some serious concerns I have. I've never been involved with it and I would not get involved with it, but, beyond that, I'm certainly no expert in the field. So.
Yeah, that's a topic I want to eventually cover because I saw someone on Frank's speech and they had Brandon Hauser had a great episode or a great weekend of teaching about this. And I didn't get to watch the whole thing. I'd love him to replay it because I thought it was very educational because Walt Disney was at 33rd level, which is very high ranking. And people have been following the Disney story for a very long time. It's just someone like me who's been in love with Disney for a long time, didn't even think about it, that that was even a possibility. And then, you know, I've started watching a trend with Disney and now I can't give them any more money. I just really can't. Hey, I'm gonna get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm gonna take a quick break. Hey guys, I want to give you a pro tip to help keep your family healthy when everyone around you is coughing, sniffling, or sneezing, okay? Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go first to drstellamd.com. When you're there, go ahead and grab some COVID bites. Also, get your ivermectin, set up your telemed appointment, and get your ivermectin. I'm gonna give you a promo code to help you save some money, and use promo code AmberMay, one word, and that'll help you save money. Now, here's your pro tip for you. You can use this on your entire family. The adult doses too. I've talked to a medical expert. They said cut it in half when you're dealing with children, so one tablet. What I do with my kids, because it's just too big of a pill for them, I get a blender, I put a pill in there, I fill it with water and like some flavoring, and then boom, I have them drink it before school. Pro tip, and what it has, and it's amazing. It has quercetin, vitamin D, vitamin C, zinc, all the therapeutics to help keep your body healthy and working at optimum health. Support your body's immune system when you use the COVID bites. They're amazing. So go to drstellamd.com, grab your COVID bites, get your ivermectin, use promo code AmberMay, and save some money. When I'm walking around my house, I always wear slippers. It's just what I do. And in the wintertime, it's especially needed because it's super cold. And I don't know about you, but bare feet on cold floor just isn't my groove. So let me show you what I do on a regular basis. Okay, so I always buy myself slippers every single Christmas. It's just what I do. And so I got these MyPillow slippers, and they are super comfortable. I am not going anywhere else. From now on, I'm going to get all my slippers from mypillow.com/Amber. And you can save right now, get the lowest price on slippers and save 40% right now. So you can get yourself some if you want something for Christmas, or you have someone in your family that you want to buy for. So make sure you go to mypillow.com/Amber. Use promo code Amber, save up to 66% off, and get these slippers at the lowest price ever. They're super comfortable, super comfortable. Are listening to the Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress. So tell me about education, because that's a big topic. And what got you started with wanting to dive in on the education realm with for you specifically? Because everyone has their things, but how come education's been a big important topic for you?
Well, it started shortly into my journalistic career. I mean, I had never been to a public school in America. In fact, I'd never been to a school in America other than college. I grew up overseas. And so I didn't realize how horrible it was. But when I got to college, I got a sense of like, wow, this is unbelievable. And as I started in journalism, the thing that first caught my eye, I was reading a local newspaper and it was talking about these national standards that were going to be brought in. And I thought, that's weird. You know, that doesn't seem like something that America should have. I thought we're, you know, a nation of states, and why in the world should we have a federal, you know, education system? That's weird. So I started digging and I started exposing Common Core really early on. This was 2011, 2012. And that led me down this path of realizing that, oh my goodness, this is the most important issue. The education issue is the most important one, because if they succeed in brainwashing all the children for generations to come, there will be no turning back. We'll lose all the other battles and it'll be too late to reverse course. So I recognized that was critical. And then a few years after I started digging into this, I got a phone call from WND Books and Dr. Sam Blumenfeld. I said, hey, Alex, so would you collaborate on a book? We could be co-authors on a book. So I wrote a book called Crimes of the Educators with Dr. Sam Blumenfeld. We co-authored it. And as I started working with Sam had been studying the public school system for 60 years, and he understood why so many of our young people are illiterate today. Of course, it's by design. It's deliberate. It's not an accident. And I started reading Sam's books. He wrote, I think, 12 prior to this one on the education system. And the more I dug into it, the more I realized that this was like the central element of the plot, right? They're the way that they had stolen our liberties, the way that they had destroyed our country, the way that they undermined our Constitution, the way that they moved forward all this evil agenda was simply through the brainwashing and the indoctrination of our kids. And so I decided that we had to fight on this issue, and we had to expose this issue. We had, and I also don't believe that the schools can be reformed. So that's kind of where I parted ways with a lot of the people who've been studying this and exposing this. So, well, you know, if we just get good candidates on the school board, if we just, you know, do some reforms at the state legislature, I don't believe that. I mean, it's like trying to reform cancer. And so I've made that really a central element of my work for many years now, and I intend to continue talking about this and exposing it. Again, I don't believe there are any issues more important than the brainwashing, the dumbing down, and the sexualization of our children, because that's what's producing all the rest of this madness that we're dealing with.
Tell me about Common Core, because some people might not understand what you know about Common Core. So why is it when you dug in and you found Common Core, you didn't like that form of education?
Well, at first it was just, you know, why do we need the national standards? I mean, why can't the states figure out for themselves, or why can't the local school districts figure out for themselves? Why can't parents figure out for themselves? Why do we need, you know, a national level program? Mm-hmm. We're a very diverse nation. People in New York State are very different than people in Oklahoma. You know, people in a small town in South Carolina are very different than people in Los Angeles. Why in the world would anybody think that they all need the same sort of education? And that just seemed very preposterous to me. And the more I dug, the more I was troubled. Right. So I looked into this and I saw, well, Bill Gates is funding this big time. Bill Gates, actually, he ended up putting in more than $2 billion. And that was pre-COVID, you know, so I didn't quite know how wicked this man was. But I knew it was bad news. And I knew he had gone over, Phyllis Schlafly actually got the documents. He had gone over in 2004 to UNESCO headquarters, the UN Educational, Scientific and Cultural Organization. And he had, Phyllis Schlafly obtained these documents showing that Bill Gates signed an agreement. You can get these today. Bill Gates signed an agreement on behalf of Microsoft with UNESCO to come up with global education standards, global curricula, global syllabus, global teacher training programs, global technology systems to implement in schools around the world. And I thought, man, that's a really bad idea. I thought national standards were bad. Global education, that's even worse. And so I started looking into that. And, you know, I dig and then I come across something called the World Core Curriculum. And by the way, the Common Core people were bragging about this. You know, I've got a commercial that the Common Core people put out, and this aired all over the country, saying, hey, Common Core is great. It lines up with international standards. And so they have these little kids, you know, they have a staircase in Shanghai and Paris and Chicago and Seattle. And so kids everywhere will be learning from the same standards. Isn't that great? I thought, no, that's insane. Why would children in Chicago need to learn the same thing as victims of a mass murdering totalitarian communist dictatorship? That sounds like a really stupid idea. So digging even further, I came across what's called the World Core Curriculum. The UN, actually the Deputy Secretary General of the UN, his name was Robert Mueller, had created this global curriculum that the UN, and he said, should be taught in every school on the planet. And I didn't have to dig very deep to realize this guy was a wackadoodle of the highest order. He wrote in the teacher's manual for the World Core Curriculum that the philosophy that underpins it all came from Alice Bailey and the Tibetan teacher Jeval Kuhl. And, you know, I knew who Alice Bailey was. She was the founder of the Lucifer Publishing Company. And so that was Lucifer Publishing Company. And so that was a big red flag. Now it's called the Lucius Trust. It still exists, but Lucifer Publishing was just a little too obvious. So then they started calling it the Lucius Trust. But these people are basically, she was a disciple of Helena Blavatsky, this Russian mystic who regarded God Jehovah as this oppressive tyrant who was keeping Adam and Eve prisoner in the garden. And then Lucifer came and brought light and knowledge to them. And so really freed them from this. So they got the biblical story exactly backwards, right? Satan is the good guy. So this weirdo, Alice Bailey, was the inspiration, not just Alice Bailey. He also said the Tibetan teacher, Jeval Kuhl. And I didn't know at the time that I read that, but I knew enough about Alice Bailey to know there's something here. So I look up this Tibetan teacher, Jeval Kuhl. He's not Tibetan. He's not a teacher. He is what Alice Bailey called a ascended master. A spiritual entity that she claimed to be communicating with that was dictating and working through her to write these crazy books. That's all I really needed to know that something very evil was going on here with these so-called education standards. And so that's, you know, we got all that in the book. I've written articles about it and been trying to expose that, but people need to realize that what's happening here is not just a difference of opinion. It's not just like, well, you know, I wish we would focus more on real history and less on, you know, transgenderism. What's happening here is really an evil, evil agenda. And it's global. It's not just America. Common Core is just one part of a global puzzle. And we see it coming into view now with the Great Reset and the World Economic Forum. I mean, this is where these people want to go, and we cannot allow that.
You got me. All the big players. You said the UN, Bill Gates. Like you, I didn't realize how nefarious Bill Gates was until Jeffrey Epstein and COVID and the shots that he was making women infertile around the world. I did know he was part of the Common Core, and I'm just like, great, he is involved. I already know it's bad news. But then you say UN, and I'm like, great, because who's part of the globalism? The UN, Bill Gates, the World Economic Forum, all of them. And what was in the shots? Luciferase? They really love Lucifer. That should tell you something. You just said they named a whole curriculum after him, or a company that makes curriculum after him?
Oh, yeah, the Lucifer Publishing Company?
Yes!
Yeah, that was Alice Bailey's. Little organization. And it's been deeply involved with the UN for a long time. I mean, Alice Bailey and her very bizarre books. I mean, they are widely read at the highest levels of the UN. In fact, Alice Bailey played a role in designing the meditation and prayer room in the UN basement. There is something quite literally diabolical going on here. And the people of God need to stand against this. And American patriots who love freedom need to stand against this, because these people are opposed in every sense to your continued liberty.
You're right, because they have been indoctrinating kids. I just remember me as a child in junior high is when I kind of really started to see the picture. They started talking about culture, and they had a whole class about tapestry of culture. And the first thing they showed us was the movie Roots, to show slavery and how evil white people were to slaves. And not that I'm for slavery, but there's more to the story than just that. But that's all they wanted the kids to see. And so they didn't really go further than to that. And so they made me feel bad about being a white child. And I can't help that. It's just the way God made me. And so they made me start feeling bad about the way I look. And I remember that class, and I hated going to that class because I hated the way I felt in that class. And so then as school progressed, I started seeing more anti-American teachers, especially teaching about history and about how we are an oppressive nation. And I was just like, we help so many countries. How are we so oppressive? Like, so I started seeing the change, and I didn't like what I was learning in school, because I was very proud to be an American citizen. I was very proud of what we do around the world, that we do help. We gave aid everywhere. Maybe we do too much. I don't know. Maybe we should step back a little. Maybe we do step over, you know, boundaries that maybe we shouldn't cross. But I think overall we tried as an American people to be good. And so I started seeing that in school. And then it was nonstop standardized testing where you really didn't get to learn anything because every so many weeks you had another test. So I love that you did not like the standardized education, because I don't like the standardized education because I was part of that system and it did not work very well. And so when people might hear like, why would they want us to be illiterate? Why don't you answer that question? Why do they want our kids to be illiterate?
Well, I think the simplest answer is actually to go back and look at the first ever law that was passed in North America dealing with education. It was called the Old Deluder Satan Act. This was passed in the 1640s in the Massachusetts Bay Colony. Of course, this was long before the United States of America was a thing. This was basically a Bible colony, right? These were the pilgrims, the Puritans, who were setting up what they hoped would be this little Christian beacon of light and hope and spreading the gospel to the world. And they passed a law called the Old Deluder Satan Act, and they actually explained why they passed it. They said that one of the chief objects of that Old Deluder Satan is to deprive men of knowledge of the scriptures, because if they know their Bible, then they will not be deceived by Satan. And so they passed this law and they said, you know, everybody needs to learn how to read in this colony. And if you're in a town of, you know, 50 or more people or 100 more people, you know, you got to make sure all the kids there can read and everything. And so that was the first education law. And the reason why they said kids had to read was because they didn't want them to be deceived by Satan. They wanted them to know their Bible so that Satan could not trick them. And I think ultimately that's what it boils down to. When you have a literate population that can read the Bible, that can read our founding documents, kids who can educate themselves, right? If you're curious about something, you just go open an encyclopedia, you go open a book. That's a real threat to their agenda. Their agenda depends on ignorance. Their agenda depends on lies and deception. It depends on fake history, right? And you talked a little bit about your experience with that. And so as long as children and young people have access to the accumulated knowledge and wisdom of mankind, you know, there's always a chance that they'll go and educate themselves. Even if they don't learn anything useful in school, they might go home and pick up a book. They might go home and read the Bible. They might go home and read the Constitution and say, wait a minute, this isn't what they taught me at school. That's not how the government's supposed to work. They're not allowed to tell me what I can and can't say. They're not allowed to infringe on my right to keep and bear arms. Where is this coming from? And so I think the real short answer for why they would want illiterate Americans is illiterate people are easier to control. They're easier to manipulate. They're easier to enslave. And I think that's ultimately, when you boil it down, that's what it's about.
And, you know, that could have been why they didn't want Black people back in slavery days to learn how to read, because maybe that was the same thing. They didn't, because they didn't want their slaves to be free. They wanted to have that slave labor. And so if they were educated men and women, then that would kind of disrupt the flow of who's in charge. So I love your point about that. I think you're right on the money. And that's why I try to tell all my people, like, get your kids out of public school. In Arizona, they have a really great program to where you can put your kids in a private school. And there's organizations called scholarship tuition organizations, and people donate their money there. And then at tax time, they get every dollar back that they donated to your child. So they'll go to these STOs. They'll say, I want to recommend Mary Jo Smith at ABC school. And then at the end of the year, they take all those donations, they turn it into the government, and they get a tax credit, which means they get dollar for dollar tax credit money back on their taxes. So parents are not having to put out the money to put their kids in private education, and the donors get all their money back. So it's a win-win-win for everyone. And it's saving the state a lot of money from having to pay to put all these kids in public school. So that's a great program that I'd love to see across the nation, because it helps free parents, because now we're in a position where it's almost impossible for there to be a one income family. It's almost impossible. Either there's two incomes, or the dad's working like 1,000 jobs and he never gets to see his family, or I don't know, or you really struggle. And so it makes it hard if you feel like you need a homeschool. It makes it difficult because society almost forces you to. Now, some families do it and they do it well and somehow they figure it out, but there's some families that it would be impossible for them to do that. So at least this program allows those families to put their kid in school so they can work and all that. So I love the program and I hope to see it across the nation. In Arizona, they're talking about having the money go follow the kid. So wherever, if you're in private school, the money will follow your private school. Right now, it's not like that, but the talk is in this next session that maybe laws will be introduced. The governor's behind it, Carrie Lake. I call her the governor. She hasn't won yet, but in my heart, she's my governor. Carrie Lake's talking about that. Our superintendent of public instruction in Arizona is talking about that. And a lot of the state legislators are talking about that. So that's an exciting thing that could happen, which would go to where you're saying, where you feel like you can't change the school system. That's what you said, where this might create the capitalism or the ability to like, oh, all the money is going over here, so maybe I need to change the way things up. Competition creates a competition. Right now, there's no competition because all the money goes to private public school. Yeah. So this bill.
And I think there's a lot of merit to that idea. My one big concern about it is that, you know, what we've seen historically in America and in other places is that when government money starts going to something, regulation follows very shortly thereafter. And so that's why, for example, the Homeschool Legal Defense Association, they represent, I think, 600 or 700,000 families. They have fought tooth and nail every time a proposal to have government funding for homeschoolers pops up. And, you know, I know a lot of people have been working on these things in Arizona. In fact, we have an organization called Public School Exit, and the recently departed state superintendent of public instruction there, a good friend of mine, Diane Douglas, she actually is, you know, very weary of these ideas. And our thinking is really, you know, parents are responsible for feeding their children. Parents are responsible for housing their children. Parents are responsible for disciplining their children. Parents also ought to be responsible for educating their children. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one thing that we've worked closely with Trent Franks. He was actually the first guy to come up with the school choice idea. He was a legislator in Arizona and then a congressman. And, you know, we've gotten a lot of wisdom and insight from him. And one of the things that he has argued for, and several other very smart people who are in this field have argued for, is that instead of letting the money go to the government first and then to the private schools or then to the homeschoolers, a better solution is for just that money to never go to the government in the first place. So if a parent is going to homeschool their children, you don't send your money to the state, or you don't send your money to the county or the school district. If a family is going to pay for private school for their student, then you just do some sort of, you know, tax break where it's not the money goes to the government and then comes back with strings. It just never goes to the government in the first place. So we think that's probably from the court's perspective, it's probably a more defensible position to be able to ensure that the government tentacles don't ruin private schools and homeschools like they already ruined the government indoctrination center posing as a school.
I can't disagree with you, because I will say, hearing those made me think of the same thing. I like the idea, you know, honestly, I do like the idea of the money following the kids, but because of history, my spidey senses do go up and say like, well, now is there going to be a dictation of what my private school can teach? I have to admit that did go through my brain. And so I'm like, huh. So I am in that camp where like, crap, you know, like I like that idea, but I don't want strings attached, because we definitely saw that with COVID. That was like blatant COVID. There was definitely strings attached. You didn't just get money. You had to do this, 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 or that. And also the Zuckerbucks money, there was strings attached to that. You didn't just get the money. There was strings that you had to do this, this, that, or the other before you got the money. So with government, there's always strings attached. So on to fight another day, because education's important, and I totally agree. So where can people find you? I know you have to run. You have a show to do. I appreciate your time coming on the program. I really enjoyed meeting you in Oklahoma and finally like getting to know you, because I've seen you on Frank's Speech. So how do people get to know you better?
Well, I want to thank you, first of all, for having me on, Amber May. It was wonderful to meet you in Oklahoma, also at Clay Clark's event, and looking forward to having you on my program very soon as well. So people who want to watch my show, it's every day 4:30 to 5 Eastern time on Lindell 2, and then it rebroadcasts on Lindell 1 in the morning and in the evening. It's also rebroadcast on Brighteon TV and other platforms. My personal website is libertysentinel.org. You can see it behind me. I'm the senior editor at the New American Magazine. People can read my work in dozens of different different publications that I've written for over the years. Still do a lot of contributing to the Epoch Times and other publications. And then public school exit for people who want help getting the kids out of the schools, or if, you know, if you're in a church and you want to get your church on board with this, we think it's absolutely essential. Go to publicschoolexit.com. And I want to thank you again, Amber May, for having me. A phenomenal program. It's great to be with you, and looking forward to chatting with you more very soon.
Thank you. Have a great day, guys. So yesterday I showed you how I just got my brand new weight loss coffee, but it does more than that. It helps reduce with fatigue and stress, and it helps with your mind. And yesterday I showed you how you could drink it hot with a warm glass or a hot glass of water. Today I'm going to do an experiment. I don't know how it's going to taste, so you're going to join with me. So what I did is I grabbed my little blender, I put some ice and some water in it, and if you're on keto, then heavy whipping cream is a big part of keto, like you use it on a regular basis. So I'm going to add some heavy whipping cream. So this is going to be interesting. You're going to find out live on this video if I think it tastes good or not, because it's an experiment. I might not like coffee this way. I mean, coffee's a new thing for me anyway. So this, just one scoop, is called the Java. So if you're trying to get healthier and you want to lose weight, then this is what you're going to need, because it has a lot of superfoods in it. It helps with burning fat, it helps with mental clarity and energy, and it smells really good. So here's my scoop of my coffee mix. It's called Java from Mfinity. You can find it in the links below this video, or you can go to ambermay.mymfinity.com. So it's gonna get loud, folks. It's gonna get loud. Okay, all right. Let's see how this tastes. I hope it tastes good. I think I actually need to blend it some more, so hold on. Okay, moment of truth, folks. Let's hope I don't spill on TV. That would be so embarrassing. Ooh, it's like a smoothie. Cheers. Oh, I could dig that. Next time I'm going to put more heavy whipping cream. That could do that. Here's to losing weight. So go to ambermay.myinfinity.com or go to thetimelesspack.com, use promo code AmberMay, and grab some coffee of your own. We all like to support veterans and veteran businesses, so I want you to check out thecommandersartist.com. His artwork is phenomenal, very patriotic. I think you're going to like it. And when you're at thecommandersartist.com, if you use my name, Amber, you're going to save some money at checkout. So you can support a veteran-owned business that also supports the Amber May Show, and you get a discount at the same time. It's a win-win situation for everybody. General Flynn loves him, and he's a great friend to me. So visit thecommandersartist.com today, use promo code Amber, and save some money at checkout.